time away with God is about going deeper than you could normally get to on your own.
That's right.
To see God's grace in a new way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it really is a chance to kind of really connect with God and to clear the brain from all the daily distractions. And because I think we really do underestimate in our society today how much distraction we actually really deal with.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I'm Mike Falkenstein, and I'm here again with Tony Miltenberger. Tony has been with me over these last few episodes, and we're talking about this idea of spiritual disciplines, of which I think are just so important. So I would say, if you're just coming into this podcast and you haven't heard these previous episodes, I would encourage you to go back and, you know, we're just starting. These are the initial episodes of season two of our podcast that we call the Catalytic Podcast. And Tony and I have gotten to know each other over the last year or two. And I've just found a very common heart with him as it relates to disciple making and discipleship and being and making disciples in the Western Church. And Tony, I know you've just come off of a season of a pastorate, and you've left that now. And I'm curious, I know really kind of making disciples and helping churches make disciples, I mean, that's kind of what you feel God calling you to at this season, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I'm doing it through a couple different, you know, vehicles. I work with sober living homes, and there's seven of them here in the Miami Valley, and there's about 40 people, guys and gals, that we walk alongside for spiritual formation and disciple making. And then the other part of my world is this nonprofit called Spirit and Truth, which walks alongside pastors, helping them be equipped to live out the Great Commission and to make disciples who can make disciples. And so it's talk about disciple making all the time. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I love it.
I was just going to say, that sounds pretty good. And I appreciate in particular what you've said about your ministry, Spirit and Truth, because in a recent book resource that I wrote, I did a little research about, you know, kind of the top reasons that pastors have trouble in creating a disciple-making ministry in their church. You know, there was a survey that came out recently, Tony, that only 10% of churches in America have a reproducible disciple-making strategy. And so to hear that there are ministries like yours that are actually helping pastors and churches in particular is really good, because I think you and I would both agree, one of the reasons that that's really important is that when Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 to go make disciples, that is also a command for the local church, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's not only a command, we live out the Great Commandment by practicing the Great Commission. The two cannot be separated. And I think that that's critically important as we begin to think about what it means to love people well. It's to help them walk with Christ.
That's awesome. That's great. And boy, we could do a whole episode on this, but in the research that I did, it became pretty clear as well that many pastors are not getting that kind of training of how to make a disciple in seminary. And so therefore, why would we expect them? I mean, the training that they went through in seminary to do their church ministry, if they're not covering those things in seminary, you wouldn't necessarily expect them to know how to do that, right? So to have a ministry come alongside them and go, hey, this is important and we want to show you how to do it is good. So Tony, today in our spiritual disciplines series, we're going to talk about what I call the TOG. And TOG is an acronym for time alone with God. And this is really kind of extended time. You know, you and I did an episode about the quiet time, which is that daily sort of shorter time. I'm talking about today more something like that time with God that's like 2 hours or more, I think I remember the, you know, your co-host on one of your podcasts, Justin Gravett, talked a little bit about going like into a cabin and going overnight. And I think in one of the episodes, so this could be, I mean, for me, it tends to be a 2 or 3 hour. I have time on Friday mornings that I kind of get this extended time with God, but this extended time can really go days, right? I mean, it could go a couple of days. And yeah, the idea is you're really wanting to, this is really just a time to really clear the head and hear from God. So is that how you kind of define that? I mean, it's just kind of this extended time, isn't it, with the, with God?
Yes, I would say absolutely. And there's a couple things that I am a big advocate for, and they typically revolve around either retreats, which the episode you're talking about, Justin and I, we went on a silent retreat for 4 days. Mm. And so that was a very intentional time away with God. It was very painful because I'm a talker, Mike.
Right.
Me and too. So 4 days of being silent was really difficult. But then the other thing that I do is like an extended fast, right? Mm. And we've talked a little bit about fasting in some of the disciplines. Mm-hmm. But I believe that a really good fast, you know, a 3 or 4 day water fast or a Daniel fast, that's a way to build in some extended time with God, because in the lack of eating, you're creating space for that intentional time. And so I'd be interested to hear your definition, but I think time away with God is about going deeper than you could normally get to on your own.
That's right.
To see God's grace in a new way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it really is a chance to kind of really, really connect with God and to clear the brain from all the daily distractions. And because I think we really do underestimate in our society today how much distraction we actually really deal with on a daily basis. And certainly, if we are going to be good at abiding in Christ, I think there is just a powerful reason to say, you know, we really do need to kind of disconnect from all of our modern electronics and all the stuff that we have go through. And, you know, each of us has, you know, hundreds of emails that are, you know, backed up in our in our inbox, and, you know, trying to catch up with all of that. And, you know, so definitely having that extended time is really good. So, Tony, I'm curious, if we're going to be talking about then how do we spend this extended time? Obviously, you mentioned this retreat, and I would sort of say really the first part is finding a place to go. So to me, there's really kind of two main ways to do that. If you're looking at kind of the 2 to 3 hour time period of, you know, spending this extended time with God, really any kind of park. You know, again, I mentioned I have this place 15 minutes from me. It's called Daniel's Park, but it kind of looks out over we can see the Rocky Mountains from there. And for me, being outside is something that's really important. Obviously, if you're going to be more than that, if you've either got a cabin or you've got a place you can go, that's important. So I'm curious, when you think about finding a place to go to do this extended time, where does that take you?
If I'm going to do a couple hour variety, then definitely being outside is the way to go. And mm-hmm. while we don't have beautiful mountains like you guys do, we do have rolling hills and plains. And so an mm-hmm. intentional walk is usually a really good way for me to kind of get those feelings and, you know, kind of emotions, you know, opening up a little bit.
Mm.
So there, but then, you know, this is what I found. The Catholic Church has done a tremendous job of creating spaces and places for this kind of work. Mm-hmm. Mainline Protestantism hasn't really bought on to the retreat idea as much as some of the more historical liturgical faiths and practices. And so in Dayton, there's probably 3 or 4 retreat houses that are great for this kind of work. And they're super affordable. You know, they're not, you know, none of these places are trying to get rich. They're trying to help people closer to Christ. So if I'm going to do a multiple day variety, there's some places, retreat houses that I go to locally that are really life-giving for me and developed kind of relationships there. And then, you know, as a pastor, I'm assuming there's quite a few pastors listening. Mm-hmm. There are oftentimes some ministries that are designed to create that space for pastors. Mm-hmm. And so there's some free spaces out there for ministry people and pastors if they need that space and place. So, you know, find a large piece of land or find a retreat center. And, you know, probably like you kind of mentioned, the most important thing we need to do is clear up the schedule.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so I like all of that. And you are right. So just west of us, not that far, there's a Catholic I don't remember what they call it, prayer house of some kind. And yeah, literally, it's just a matter of calling and just reserving the time. And so, which is kind of nice, because there are times here in, you know, Denver area where it's just too cold to be outside for two or yeah. 3 hours. And so to have just an indoor space. But I, you know, I have done these extended times, of course, at home, since I work from home. And when everyone's, you know, everyone's out of the house, I can get a couple of hours, and that's okay. But I've just found, you know, it is nice to have a place to go. And so then, Tony, if we're talking about, I guess, again, we're really beginning to discern kind of two different extended times with God, one in the 2 to 3 hours and one in more of a retreat style. So the answer to this next part might change, but in terms of then how to invest your time, what would you say? Obviously, you're dividing the time on prayer, scripture memory, whatnot, but in terms of these different times along with God, what do you recommend in terms of how to invest that time that you're alone with God?
I would say it would depend on what your outcome is, first and foremost. Mm. And so if you've got something that you're wrestling with specifically, that might change how I approach it. So let me give you an example. As I was leaving the local church, which is just in 2021, I wanted to make sure that my last message was in alignment with what God wanted for the church. And so I participated with Justin and a couple other pastors in a 5-day water fast. Oh, wow. And so one of those days was spent, I cleared out 4 hours of my day to work on this last message to the flock that I've been leading for the last 7 years. And it was super emotional. And so I just said, Lord, I'm here to hear from you. And I'm staying here until I do. And it kind of just, I drew a line in the sand, right? Like,
Tony, it sounds like you have a great process for your time alone with God. If we can, Tony, let's just take a quick break and allow our friend Tom Moeller to say a few words. When we come back, Tony, I want to hear the rest of your process on what you do as you spend this time alone with God. And I'm particularly interested because I have not actually done a lot of the 3 to 4 day times alone with God. So yeah, I want to hear more about that. Thank you so much, Tony, for being here. I thank all of you listeners for listening, and hopefully this is helpful. We will be right back after this break.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
I need to release some of my own baggage in that. So I started by soaking in the Spirit, and I'll put on some worship music. And sometimes it's Elevation. Sometimes it's liturgical hymns with no words. Sometimes it's, you know, whatever you can. And then I'm just going to soak in the Spirit for a while. And then as I sit and soak in the Spirit, I'm going to listen for the Holy Spirit to say something. And then I'm going to open up the Word and start chasing down, you know, whatever the Spirit might be saying. And then if I get stuck, then I'm going to go to prayer. And then if I get stuck again, I'm going to go back to worship music. And I just kind of, this ping pong game where I just let the Holy Spirit lead me and try to stay focused and remove distractions. And we ended up, you know, the Holy Spirit wrote a really good message that seemed to really be meaningful.
That's awesome. And so it sounds, Tony, like, I mean, if the one of the things that you're saying is you really do want to sort of define what you're hoping to be able to get out of the time, right? That in your case, this was, hey, I'm just really seeking the Lord for a particular message, or, you know, and maybe in my life, it would be, gosh, we've got this new ministry opportunity, but I want to really make sure that God's in it. And I just really want to seek his face, or we're lower on our funds than we have been. Lord, what are you doing in that? And trying to just seek God's face, or, you know, I think there's some commonality there in that in each case, it is extended time with God is an opportunity. And, you know, we're to be able to really seek God's face. Now the actual, like you mentioned, the outcome might be different, and in terms of what you're hoping to get out of it. And so, yeah, dividing in terms of how to invest the time, whatever gets you to that final goal, right? And so I would agree with you that you've got, you know, you've got prayer in there, you've got scripture memory and scripture reading, and you can kind of go back and forth at times. Then it's just sort of, you know, being silent before the Lord and just trying to hear from him. Because for me, I like to keep the communication going on my side, right? I'm, but at times it's just like, no, Mike, just be quiet. It's okay to be quiet at times as well, right? So Tony, in terms of what then to take with you on these extended times with God, that might change too based on your outcomes. But of course, we're talking about obviously your Bible, hopefully a journal, which again, journaling is a separate spiritual discipline that we could talk about at some point, you know, pens, pencils, any your favorite devotional book, you know, if you're doing scripture memory cards, you could bring those. Is there anything else? What do you think of when you think about, okay, this is what generally I'm going to be taking with me on these extended times with God?
So this may be a little bit outside the norm, but I get a little ADD, right? So it's super important to me to be able to give God my best. And so sometimes I need to make sure that I have the ability to do something with my hands. Mm-hmm. Right. And so sometimes it's a walking stick. If I know I'm going to do some hiking, I'll bring some of that. When I was on that retreat where we did that silent retreat, I actually rented a paddle boat, right, and got out onto a body of water. Like, I found that for me, there are some really good ways to stay fresh in that extended time. And that's by mixing up the blocks of like, okay, I'm doing this with my mind, I'm doing this with my hands, I'm doing this with my heart, you know. And then I also, if I'm going to go for multiple days, I believe that napping is a spiritual discipline that's highly underrated. Oh. And so, I'll bring a pillow, a hammock, like, I've got, Jesus took naps. I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to take naps. Right. So, for me, that's part of it. Cause if I'm so tired, which, you know, a lot of us are, we're running it at Mach 10 with our hair on fire.
That's right.
Sometimes that nap, that 20, 30 minutes is enough to wake up my sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in a new way. And so, whatever I need to do in order to make sure that I'm productive, does that make sense?
Yes. Well, Tony, that's good. And it's interesting because I don't know that, especially amongst Christian leaders, many of us would think, yeah, taking a nap would be a good idea, but it really would be. I think it is. It definitely can be for sure. And so, Tony, talk to me quickly about in these times about taking notes. Are you, as you believe you're hearing from God, or are you doing much journaling/note-taking?
I am. I'm doing it in a couple different spaces. So there's, I have one of the Bibles that I have has margins for notes on the side. Mm. And so I'll jot notes directly in my Bible if it's about the scripture. And then if I think God is giving me a prophetic word or a word for my life or a word for the year, then I'll write that in a journal or on a notepad. And then because I always lose journals and notepads, as I've mentioned previously, I'll take a picture and I'll throw it in my Evernote later. I'll do that after the extended talk. And so I want to keep it somewhere where I can revisit it, because I believe one of the things that we have to do is, you know, prove out where we thought we heard God's word, you know, whether that was accurate or what came from it, or, you know, those kind of things. So I'll snap a picture of it, throw it in my Evernote, and then give it a tag so that I can search it later.
That's great. That's great. And I'm assuming the benefit to that is you do want to be able to go back.
Yeah.
Just remind yourself, okay, this is what I felt like I heard from God, right? Which I think is important. So Tony, as we end this episode, in closing notes, I would say two things, and I'd love to get your quick reply. First is, I've heard it say that at times, you know, it's okay to, it's okay to not think about that the end of that day or end of that time has to have some kind of new discovery or ordinary experience, to wait on God and to expose yourself to God's word at times is enough, right? That because we're not going to control the method or the timing of, you know, when God reveals himself or what he thinks about a certain thing, right? And so, because it could be, and I've had this before where I've had the 3 hours with God, and then it's not until a couple days later that it feels like, you know, that I actually heard from him. So I'm curious what you think about that. Number one, certainly we're on God's timing, right? Not ours.
Yeah. I always approach the expectations, but I also understand that I'm not God. Mm-hmm. So my expectations are to be there, to be fruitful, to be obedient. And, it's oftentimes like building a muscle. Right. You may not see the muscle that day, but eventually you will see how strong you are. And so that may come days later. So I think that you're mm-hmm. spot on in the sense of like God's going to get to you when he thinks that you are ready for it and he wants to give it to you. And that's right. The way it should work. We should also go into these things expecting to hear from God, because that's also what he says, you know, ask and seek, knock, you know, those are kind of the things that we're trying to do in those extended times, but just know that it may not be the answer you want, and it may not be as clear as you want. And that's okay. Right. Like that's learning to, if you're doing it for, forget that at the end of this, it's still the relationship between you and God is what will see you through the next season.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think if we've, you know, really exposed ourselves to the word and come in contact with God, I mean, it's just going to affect our lives, our daily lives and our lives going forward. Right. So God's certainly going to bless us and speak to us as he wants. And he wants to hear, he wants to speak to us. I think he wants us to have that relationship where we have that communication. So, and then finally, Tony, I definitely want to just sort of reiterate that I think one of the biggest benefits of these extended times with the Lord is that it really gives us some additional time to clear our minds and I always tell people when I spend these 3 hours on Friday mornings at this place, you know, really a lot of times is the first hour that all I'm really trying to do is just kind of to clear my mind. And so I guess I mention that only in that if people are listening and they go, boy, I'm going to spend this time, and just in the first 10 minutes, I'm all this crazy, this cool stuff's going to happen with me and God. And again, I would just say that's why it's 3 hours and not, you know, 15 minutes, you know, that there's just something about clearing the mind, maybe reading some Psalms, asking him to, there's a preparation period before we really hear from him. So is that what you found as well?
Yes, that we serve a God who has a completely different thought process around time than we do. Mm-hmm. And our time is not his time. And obedience is the key in all of it. So, probably my closing thought is around time. And that is that we serve a God in seasons, and who believes in seasons. We see seasons all creation. It's clearly a part of his handprint, you know, from the childhood to our adolescence to adulthood to maturity in adulthood. We serve a God who moves us along. Mm. And so if you're thinking about this extended time away with God, create a rhythm that walks alongside the season you're in now. Maybe you're like Mike and you can do a couple hours every week. Maybe you're like me and you need a couple times a year, but creating a rhythm of extended times with God is going to help you notice the season you're in and prepare you for the season that's next.
Mm, thank you so much for that, Tony. I really appreciate that. So, Tony, real quick, tell folks, I know we've been doing this essentially every time you've joined me, but tell us again, folks want to find out about your Spirit and Truth ministry, about the other things you're doing. I think you said Instagram is a good place to go, isn't it?
That's where I do most of my running off at the mouth, and I do a disciple making post every Thursday. I kind of talk about who's on the podcast a couple times during the week. So if you put in at TWMILT, TWMILT, you can find my website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Those are most of the places where I'm living these days. And yeah, I'd love to connect with you and let me know you heard us here on this podcast and that you're friends with Mike. And I promise I won't hold it against you.
Well, thank you. And I would just, again, follow that up for those listening that a lot of the content that Tony is doing, I really appreciate it, the podcast content and the other stuff. And so I'm going to recommend you go to hear him there as well. So again, thank you all. Hopefully this has been a real benefit. If you are enjoying the show, be sure to share it with others. We're so thankful that you're with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you and hearing from you and being with you on the next episode of the Catalytic Podcast.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.